Today, as more households are crushed, bankers talk their own book on easing mortgage lending rules. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, guess what? Bankers are looking at ways to ease lending standards to pump the market some more, as bank margins are under pressure at a time when lending growth is already strong and more households are already in financial difficulty. In fact, the value of new housing loans has risen by 17.9% since March 2023 to $27.6 billion, and they were up 3.1% in March, according to the ABS. The latest data shows that the value of investor loans rose 3.8% in March to $10.2 billion, and that increased 31.1% since March 2023, while owner-occupied loans, excluding first home buyers, rose 2.1% to $12.3 billion, increasing 8.8% through the year. And first home buyer loans rose 4.4% to $5.2 billion, going up 17.9% through the year. And in fact, since March 2023, there has been relatively strong growth in investor loans, with increases in both the number by around 11% and the average loan size up 8% in original terms from the ABS. And they also released their latest estimates of real living costs for households. And they said that employee households recorded the largest annual rise in living costs of all household types, with a rise of 6.5%, down, of course, from a peak of 9.6% in June 2023. Mortgage interest charges rose 35.3% annually. That's down from a peak of 91.6% in the 12 months to June 2023. And a significant difference between the living cost indices and the CPI is that the LCIs include mortgage interest charges. Increases in interest rates and insurance premiums over the year have contributed to annual living costs ranging from 3.3% to 6.5% for different household types. The ABS said employee, other government transfer recipient and pensioner and beneficiary households recorded higher rises than the 3.6% annual rise in the CPI. The ABS said higher food prices over the last 12 months also contributed to the annual living cost increases for all household types. Now, none of this comes as a surprise, because the DFA surveys for April showed a further rise in mortgage stress to more than half of mortgage borrowers, with many first-time borrowers and young growing families most exposed. And in addition, rental stress remains very high, underscoring the pressures created by bad policy over many years and making housing unaffordable. In my live show coming up on Tuesday, we will look at this in more detail and do a further postcode deep dive. And interestingly, NAB, who reported their 6 monthly results this past week, showed that their net interest margins, that's the gap between funding costs and lending costs, dropped in the year, while lending arrears were continuing to rise, although from a relatively low level. So, in addition to strong loan growth, despite the current lending standards in play, much higher living costs than the reported CPI, and high mortgage stress, the CEOs of ANZ and NAB have called on the government to ease current rules around lending, saying they're so restrictive that it has created an inequitable system where banks can loan to wealthier people, but medium and low income households are often locked out of financing. The unintended consequence of this is that it's harder to get a home loan or a credit card in Australia or New Zealand today than it's been in 30 years, according to the ANZ boss Shane Elliott. In fact, he made a similar public comment this last week, arguing that access to credit is becoming the preserve of the well-off. If you want a loan, you have to be better off, or you have to be essentially rich, Mr. Elliott warned. And now, from a bank's perspective, that means it's safe. The people we're onboarding are really, really good, robust clients, and that's why you're not seeing them fall into as much trouble as they might have historically. This, he says, leaves the big banks safe, but comes at the cost of economic dynamism and aspiration in the economy. Is that a society that we want, where people can't get a home loan or can't get a loan to start a business? That has consequences. And Mr. Elliott's comments were echoed this week by incoming NAB chief executive Andrew Irvine. The challenge that I think we're seeing now is that the collective effect of all of that regulation has added complexity, and in aggregate, it's made it challenging for bank participants to serve the needs of low-income households, Irving told the ABC. We're certainly seeing that our portfolio in our consumer bank is performing quite a bit better than I would have expected at this stage of the economic cycle. And anyone might then think that this is because some of the customers that we would have typically banked in prior times are no longer borrowing from us. And Mr. Irving said that how regulation can be changed is a conversation that could be had with governments and regulators. Ultimately, regulators need to make these decisions themselves. And to the extent that they ask us for views, we will share them, he said. Here is, it's never just one specific regulation. It's the commingling of all regulations that make it harder for banks to lend. Now, it's worth remembering the horror stories of consumers in financial strife that emerged during the Banking Royal Commission more than 5 years ago, and how that led to stronger regulations aimed at better protecting consumers and to cap bonuses paid to bankers. There are in fact two major laws that restrict the ability of banks to lend. The first are rules imposed by banking regulator APRA that required lenders to assess someone who wants to borrow for a home loan at a rate of 3% above the current rate on offer. Those buffers only apply to lenders regulated by APRA, not non-banks, and were increased in 2021 after problems started emerging of people being lent loans on deposits of 10% or less and with more than six times their income. The other regulation that restricts a bank's ability to lend are responsible lending laws passed during the Rudd Labour government back in 2009 and backed by Kenneth Haynes' Royal Commission final report, which found that many banks were not applying them correctly. In fact, in 2021, the then Treasurer Josh Frydenberg tried to pass a bill to wind back those laws, but it was rejected by a Senate crossbench committee, with both Labour and Green senators expressing their opposition. But now, of course, the banks are once again agitating for change, and as a result, consumer groups are worried. As the ABC reported this week, lending laws are in place to make sure that credit and lending is safe, according to Stephanie Tonkin, chief executive of the Consumer Action Law Centre. By easing those responsible lending laws, what we're looking at doing is creating more risk. People who cannot afford or at high risk of being unable to afford a loan will be able to access credit. And right now we're seeing people in high amounts of mortgage hardship. In fact, one in four calls this year to the National Debt Helpline have been from Australians who face mortgage hardship, including some who have been forced to sell their homes. This is unprecedented, and it really reflects a changing face of people presenting to the National Debt Helpline for financial counselling support, Ms. Tonkin said. These are people earning incomes, sometimes dual income households, who are stretched beyond their means and struggling to afford essentials. But the major banks are calling for some of these regulations to be wound back as they face tougher competition and fight harder to retain profit margins in lending to consumers and businesses. And nowhere has the competition been tougher than the home loan market, and that's why the Commonwealth Bank has said it's planning to increase the commission that it pays to its home loan bankers. It's decided to stop its best performing bankers leaving by lifting the maximum bonuses that it can pay from 50% of base pay to 80% of base pay, defying concerns that this creates conflicts of interest that could incentivize risky and harmful lending. And she warns that the move by CBA to increase banker bonuses is also problematic, noting that in 2017, the Australian Banking Association gave a commitment to cap commissions at 50%. The entire reason for those caps was tied up in some of the big problems that we saw in the Royal Commission into banking misconduct and were linked back to the impact of commissions and bonuses, Ms. Tonkin said. Commissions create a culture of sales and a culture of really stretching the lines of the rules. And in the context of talk of easing responsible lending, I'm really concerned that what we're doing, what we're going to see, is even more hardship on the National Debt Helpline as people cannot afford loans that they've been provided. Other consumer groups warn that even small tweaks to responsible lending laws could cause financial turmoil. What we are seeing here is a race back to the bad old days of greed that led us to the Royal Commission in the first place, said Karen Cox, Chief Executive of Financial Rights Legal Centre. She was one of the first witnesses at the Banking Royal Commission, which kicked off its hearings back in 2018 and ended with a final report in early 2019 detailing stories of despair that were coming from Australians who'd been given loans they couldn't afford to repay. And she said that the stricter enforcement of responsible lending laws and caps on bonuses that occurred after the Royal Commission is what has kept a lid on mortgage arrears rates, even as interest rates have surged by the most in more than three decades. In fact, arrears are still relatively low by historical levels. Data from APRA released for the December 2023 quarter showed that as a share of credit outstanding, the proportion of mortgages in the 30 to 89 days past due was just 0.6%. And non-performing loans where the borrower has missed a mortgage repayment by 90 days or more as a share of credit outstanding is also low by historical standards, sitting at 0.85%. In the current conditions that we're seeing, we would have had much higher arrears again if we didn't have those laws, Ms. Cox said. Clearly, they, the big bank bosses, are attempting to dog whistle changes here. I don't see any rational justification for the relaxation of the laws. And 5 years on from the Banking Royal Commission, there's still plenty of work to do and some serious unintended consequences to clear up. She says banks are operating in a highly competitive environment where their market share has been under threat and they're looking for ways to compete and they're looking in the wrong place. And AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said that there might be scope to reduce buffers for people refinancing. The banks already have some room to do that, but cautions against significant changes to lending laws. We've gone through a very difficult time in the economy in terms of the massive rise in interest rates, and we've come through, so far anyway, at a relatively low level of arrears, he notes. That partially reflects the responsible lending that the banks have been undertaking over the past few years. If we had to take a dramatic easing in lending standards and the rules around that, the risk is that the next cycle would be far worse. So three points to make here. First, banks have already been extending and pretending, and specifically moving people from interest and principal repayments to interest only and extending loan terms to try and help people through. That, of course, benefits the banks because more interest is paid for longer. Secondly, they've been putting pressure on people to sell, not through foreclosure, but essentially being encouraged to sell before they get to that state. And in fact, at the moment, we're seeing quite a hike in people deciding to sell and get out while they can. And third, the rise in the number of calls to National Debt Helpline and elsewhere underscores the pressure that we're seeing on household finances at the moment, as my surveys also show, and as the ABS data shows. The pressure on households is rising much faster than inflation at the moment. So my conclusion is this: we need to be very, very cautious to increase the capacity of banks to lend even further. But there is, I think, a question also of what happens when somebody is coming off and refinancing from an old loan to a new loan and whether there is any scope at all to change that. My own view is that in a few exceptional cases, that might be the case. But looking at the way that the statistics are coming through in my surveys at the moment, there are so many households up against it that I think any relaxation of the standards would be pretty disastrous. And the problem we've also got is that the get-out-of-jail card of lower rates coming soon is now off the agenda, as we will see, I think, on Tuesday. So households need to manage their finances much more conservatively now and into the future, which means borrowing less, not more. So the bottom line for me is that banks are indeed talking their own book, but won't help households and won't even help the broader economy. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.